And then Bio 407, right? We have a big class. I don't know if everybody's here or not yet, but we'll allow lateness for today. Today only. Okay, everybody should have 2 blue sheets and a gold one. Do I need anything? All right. How is everybody? Here comes a late one. Jared. Here, Jared. You need these. Yep. You all had a good holiday, I trust, and got rested. And you're raring to go. Better be. Let me start with a bang. I'm not going to do introductions of all of you people and everything. You will get that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon class. So I'm just going to introduce our class and what we're going to do in 407 this semester. Let's start with the gold sheet. Hi. Would you come get handouts? Here. Okay. First, let me introduce Professor Zundel, Bill Zundel. He's our new faculty member. The oldies already know Bill. The newies don't know Bill, but he's a good guy, and you'll like Bill. Okay. So let's go through this. Well, wait a minute. I don't know what our first. Let's take a look at our first slide. I put this up here because of Bill, because he's been sick.
Yeah.
And he's gone through a lot of Kleenexes. And
boxes.
If you've been in my house, you probably would have found a cat. So hopefully, none of. Is who's sick in here? Anybody sick today? Uh oh.
Stay away.
Lee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Can I also call you Lee?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's see what first slide is before I go through here. This is just kind of the objective or the purpose of what this course is. We'll go through this real quickly. To provide lecture and laboratory experience, so it is a lecture lab course for students to learn to isolate and identify bacteria, and we will do a little bit of fungi towards the end of the semester, evaluate their findings in relation to clinical disease states. So we're going to talk about disease states, we're going to talk about the organisms that cause the disease states. That's what we do in lecture, and then in lab, we're going to learn to identify. Here's some handouts for you. We're going to learn to identify those organisms and relate them to the disease states. Okay, so you're going to need to develop laboratory skills. How many of you have not had 151 or 102? Lee?
I talked to
Okay, so some of you have never done Gram stains. Is that right? Some of you don't know what a gram-negative rod looks like. Gram-positive cocci. Raise your hand. Okay. We'll have to work with you a little bit more closely the first couple weeks so that you get to understand what these things are. Okay. So that's part of the laboratory skills. We're going to be doing a lot of gram stains. Okay. Discuss the significance of microbial organisms to clinical disease states. Okay, so then what you're going to learn to do is prepare, examine, and interpret Gram stain smears. So we're going to be doing thousands of Gram stains. So learn how to do them, learn how to do them quickly, and how to interpret them. This week and next week, we're going to learn how to streak appropriate media. So we're going to learn how to streak for isolation if you haven't done that before. We're going to work with certain media this week and next week, and I'll explain that. To understand what these media do, we're going to interpret the Gram stains, the growth patterns on the culture plates, the biochemical reactions. We're going to put all of this together to help us to identify what the organism is, because we will be dealing with unknown organisms. Develop aseptic technique in laboratory performance. Okay, what is aseptic technique?
Sterile.
sterile technique. Okay. You don't want to contaminate yourself with the organisms because we do use live organisms and pathogens, so you don't want to contaminate yourself. Plus, you don't want to contaminate the sample with your organisms or anything else that's in the environment. So the aseptic technique works both ways together, especially in the micro lab. You have to be careful about how we do things. And then we're going to talk about specimen collection. We'll do that a little bit today at 10 o'clock. We'll do that more as we go through the coordinate system. Okay. All right. Before we get into streaking for isolation, let's go through the goal sheet, which is our lecture schedule. I am Dr. Cockayne, and I usually tell students just call me Sue because that's easier. It's a pretty big mouthful to say Dr. Cockayne, so. Come get a handout. Three handouts, actually. We're just starting on the goal sheet. Okay, so we have lectures Monday and Wednesday in this class from 9 to 10. And then we go directly to lab. On Mondays, you will be given your unknowns, and you will streak out unknowns. We'll start that third week. The first 2 weeks, we're going to be working just with knowns and learning streaking techniques and media. So on Mondays, we'll have just lab from 10 to 11. On Tuesdays, we have a two-hour lab from 9 to 11 on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, come here for lecture and then lab from 10 to 11. And Thursdays, we don't have lecture. We just have lab from 10 to 11. Students will sometimes come in early on Thursdays if they've got extra to do. Everything that we do, we start on Monday, and you need to turn in your report forms by Friday evening. So everything we have to do, we get done that week. And then the next week, we start over again. Now, these are microorganisms, and as I said, they are living organisms, and just like living students, they have a mind of their own, and they do what they want to do, regardless of what we tell them to do or what we want them to do. So sometimes they're going to grow, sometimes they're not going to grow, and it'll cause frustration. Sometimes they'll be a little bit slower than we want, and so it's going to take us an extra day. So we just have to kind of work around the organisms. Okay, so what I've listed here is the Monday-Wednesday schedule. This is the lecture schedule. And the reading assignment is the textbook, the third edition of Diagnostic Microbiology. The first numbers are the chapters. And then, if we don't need to read the whole chapter, I've just put the pages in parentheses. Just check those pages. Come get some handouts. We're going through the gold sheet here. Okay, notice that on the 18th, which is only 2 weeks, there's a holiday. They must think you guys are overworked or something. You need a holiday so quickly. So we will not come to class on January 18th. Okay, then going down to February 15th, there's another holiday. So this semester we get two holidays. However, the 16th is a Monday class period. So on the 16th, we'll treat that as a Monday. Question?
So for today, do they have a reading? Or is this chapter, like?
Chapter 1. Well, pages 3 through 16. What we're going to cover today, what you'll need to know this week in lab. And then we're also going to talk about specimen collection. We'll do that at 10 o'clock. We're going to move up to another room because we can't have this room at 10 o'clock. So we're going to talk about specimen collection today in general. We can't really talk about specimen collection for every body part, so we'll cover that as we get into the different organ systems. Here's a handout. Okay, let's see. Over on the next page, the other side, we do a little bit of mycology right towards the very end, and anaerobes is a self-study packet that we will do. Notice that there is a final practical exam, and that will start on Tuesday of that first week in April, so that will be on April 6th, and I'll explain more about the practical exam when we get closer to that. Okay, you will have weekly exams in here. The weekly exams will be given at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. So, what they will cover is what we talk about on Monday and Wednesday of the previous week. Okay, so not Monday, right before Tuesday, but Monday and Wednesday of the previous week, and anything we've done in lab that previous week. So, you can usually pick them up earlier than 9 o'clock if you want. The exams are not long exams because this is your lab time. From 9 to 11 on Tuesdays is your lab time. So the idea is to take the exam as soon as possible. Don't waste time. Get it over with and then move on to your lab stuff. Because the longer you take on the exams, the less lab time you have. So that for that reason, I put a penalty on any exams handed out after 9:15 because in the past, students have come and they'll study until 10 o'clock or whatever and take the exam, and then they don't have any lab time left. So that's the only reason that penalty is there, because I want you to come in, get your exams, take them, and then move on to your lab work. Each weekly exam will just be, again, the previous week, but the final exam will be comprehensive. So don't forget what you learn, because it will come back to haunt you. The final exam is scheduled on Tuesday, April 20th from 2:30 to 5:30. I didn't do that. That's just what the university schedules.
Is there going to be a midterm like the clinical chemistry?
No, there is no midterm. There's just weekly exams and the final exams. Then you do have weekly worksheets. This is what you do in lab. And I'll explain more about that when we finally get to our unknowns. But those, again, are due each Friday by 12 or sooner. I will have boxes in both labs since we now have two labs, 734 and 737. This just says 737, but I will put a box in both labs for you to just turn in your worksheets. Sometimes I will have you turn in your media so I can check your media, but usually we don't do that. We check your media during the week as we're working on these things in the lab. Okay, then the grading, I just give you points. I don't divide anything into A, Bs, or Cs until the very end. So I just give you points for your weekly exams, points for your worksheets, and then I add them all up. And then we decide at the end what the final grade is. Okay, then you can read the rest of this about the honor code. And okay, questions on the lecture part of the lab. So keep this with you. Don't lose it. Remember Tuesdays. Tuesday mornings are sacred. Okay, this blue sheet is pretty much the same thing as the gold, but this is just what we're going to do each week in lab. So this week, which is week one, we're going to do media and QC, and I'll talk more about that. Next week, we're going to do more media and talk about antibiotic sensitivity testing. And then finally, the third week, January 19th, we do skin or cutaneous infections. And that's when we start our unknowns. We do that third week. So what we've done with this course is we've divided into organ systems, skin, upper respiratory tract, lower respiratory, GI, non-fermenters, GI tract 2, central nervous system, because that's kind of the way they handle it in the hospital. If a urine sample comes in, then it goes off to this area for the person that's doing urinary analysis that week. If a stool sample comes in, then it goes off to this section where they're doing stool samples. So we approach it from an organ system. And again, it talks about the final practical exam, which we'll explain later, and it talks about the weekly exams and the grading. So that's what the blue sheet is. Okay, then this other blue sheet, I don't know why I did two blue sheets. That just confuses everybody, especially me. But this one, how many of you have been able to purchase the syllabus in the bookstore? Anybody not been able to purchase the syllabus? Okay, but you may not need this, because this is in your syllabus. But I copied it and gave it to you so that you can take notes on this. We're going to talk about this today. This is what we will be doing in lab this week. And also the second page is what we'll be doing in lab next week. So I'm going to go through these and explain everything today so that when you get into lab tomorrow, again, we're not going to start lab today. We'll start tomorrow. Then you'll know kind of what to do to start off to begin with. So you can take notes on this, you can record your results on this, whatever you want to do, or just use what's over in your syllabus. Okay, let's begin with speaking for isolation. That's one of the techniques that we have to learn. There are different ways to do this. I'm going to explain the way we do it, but the main point is to get isolated colonies. So we're going to work on that this week and next week. This says to flame the loop. Now, what we're doing this semester is because we have two labs, and the new lab that we remodeled over last summer does not have gas spigots. So we cannot use Bunsen burners. We've got a couple gas spigots up front, but the lab space for the students does not have gas spigots. So instead of flaming the loops, we're going to be using disposable loops. So don't flame the disposable loops. Okay. So take a loop, dip it into the organisms. We'll be supplying you with organisms this week. Most of them will be in a broth, tube of broth. Some of them will be on plates. Take a little bit of the organism and streak the primary quadrant. So streak this back and forth, retrace your steps back and forth so you get good coverage of that primary quadrant. Then you rotate the plate, one quarter turn, and you go into quadrant number two. And you take your loop, and again, you don't, because they're disposable, you don't flame in between. You just use the same loop as long as you have not contaminated it. You use the same loop. Usually what we do is start over on this end and go through quadrant number one once or twice. We don't go through as many times as this shows because that probably will bring too much material, too many organisms over here. So just go through it once or twice. Again, we'll practice that this week to see which works best for you. And then streak a quarter of the plate for quadrant number two. But you do not retrace your steps here. You just do a quarter of the plate. Don't retrace. The only place you retrace your steps is quadrant number one so that you can get confluent growth all spread out there. Okay, then for quadrant number three, you do another quarter turn of your plate. Again, start over here, go through quadrant number two once or twice, and then do your zigzags. Again, do not retrace your steps. And then for quadrant number four, turn your plate a quarter turn, go through quadrant three, and then use the rest of the plate to do zigzags all the way down. So use the whole plate. Some students will try to do all of this up in just one quarter of the plate. Use the whole plate. And it's primarily in quadrant number four that we want to get isolated colonies. So this is what your growth should look like. There's one, two, three, and here's four. So by the fourth, sometimes the third, but by the fourth quadrant, we should get colonies that are isolated. We can only work with isolated colonies. Over here you can see better the isolated colonies. If they are not isolated, like up in here, then we may have two or more organisms growing together, and it's not going to help us to do any biochemical tests or any other tests because we've got more than one organism. So our results don't mean a thing. So we have to have isolated colonies to do the rest of our testing. That's why it's important for us to learn that technique to streak to isolation. And then what we do is we will use a sterile or disposable either loop or needle, and we'll touch the center of one of these isolated colonies to streak our other media or biochemical tests that we need to do to identify the organism. So, can you understand the importance of isolated colonies? All right. Not so good. We'll probably see a lot of these. So, you can see it's just not spread out well. And we've got these red ones on top of the cream-colored ones, and we really don't have good isolation. So something like that, all we can do is start over again and restrict the plate and try to do a better job. So we're going to work on that technique this week. Okay, now sometimes we need to inoculate liquid media. The way we usually do that is with a loop. So just take some of the organisms of the isolated colony on your loop, and then dip it into the liquid media. sometimes you can just put it at the point of entry there and wiggle the loop a little bit. That probably doesn't matter so much. Oftentimes I will just stick it into the media and wiggle the loop around a little bit to get the organism off the loop. And then just shake the tube, flip the tube. And learn how to flip the tube so that you get it well mixed. Okay, some of our media will be auger slants. It won't be liquid broth, it won't be plates, it'll be auger in a slant. So we usually use a needle for this. So again, you will touch the center of one of your colonies from the isolation plate. And then with the needle, we usually stab and streak. So that means stab all the way to the bottom. There are some exceptions, and I'll explain some of these exceptions. Stab to the bottom and then bring it back up, and on the slant, do zigzags. That's all you do for auger slants. Stab and streak. Okay. Now, this is the blue page. This page here. So this is what we're going to be doing this week. Let me mention, before I get into this, mention a couple other things in your syllabus. In your syllabus, there are some study questions at the end of each section. You do not have to fill out those study questions and turn them in to be graded. Those are not for me to see. Those are for you to aid as a study help for preparing for your quizzes. Make sure you use those study questions. There are objectives in there also to help you study. And there should be a few pages in there like this that lists all of the organisms that we're going to talk about this semester. And you can see there's a lot of them in there. We go through each week. Fill this out as you go through it. Don't wait till the last week, because this will be very, very helpful in preparation for the final exam. So what it tells you is the organism. You can write down what the gram stain is and what the morphology is, whether it's gram positive, whether it's rod or cocci, what it looks like on sheep blood auger. SBA is sheep blood auger. Does it need any special media to grow? Some do and some don't. Write that down if it does. What diagnostic tests do we most commonly use to help identify Staph aureus? And what diseases is Staph aureus most associated with? So if you fill this out as we go through, and starting the third week, we're going to talk about staphs. Staph aureus, Staph epidermidis, Staphylococcus, Strep pyogenes, Agalactia, viridans. So we're going to cover several of these the third week. So write them down, and then that will help you. It'll help you for the weekly exams, it'll help you for the final exam, because you're not going to remember all this stuff by the time you get through. And the other thing about this course is, because there are so many of you and so few lab instructors, when we tell you something, make sure you write it down. If we tell you how to do an MSA plate or something, make notes on everything so that when you come back to that, you might not see that plate again for several weeks. And you might forget what it is. So go back to your notes. Don't keep coming up and asking us, how do I do this? How do I interpret a coagulase test? How do I do a catalase test? Those kinds of things. So you're going to have to learn in this course how to find the answers yourself. And a lot of these answers are in the textbook. So if you need to go to the textbook to find what these organisms do, what the tests do, then use your textbook. There's an appendix. There are several appendices. But there is one in particular that lists all of the media. It lists the ingredients of the media, what the media are used for, how to interpret positive and negative. So use that extensively. Okay. Also, in this course, we will supply lab coats. You will need a Sharpie marking pen, and you'll need that by tomorrow, because we label all of our plates and our tubes. And you must wear your lab coat at all times when you are in the lab. When you first come in the lab, back to the aseptic technique, there will be some squirt bottles of desk wash. So squirt down your desktop, wipe it off with paper towels before you start going to work. And then when you're finished, squirt down your desktop and wipe it off. And then wash your hands. Make sure you wash your hands. You can wash your hands anytime you want, during the lab, but if you get something on them, wash your hands. But make sure that, that's part of the aseptic technique. We have certain containers. The lab instructors will tell you what goes in which containers. We have some that are biohazard containers and some that are just paper towel containers. So we have to be putting these things in the right containers. Okay, let's see if there's anything general. I think that's all. Okay, so let's start describing what we're going to be doing in lab tomorrow or this week. So, this is the media. We will have all of this media available. So the first thing you will do is come in and gather two BEA plates. They'll either be plates or slants. BEA can be either one. BEA stands for bioelectrophysiologer. But again, that's stuff that you can look up in your appendix. So each of you will need two of those, and you need to label that it is BEA because the tubes, the racks will be labeled, but the tubes are not labeled. So you have to label them. What they are, your initials, and usually the date. Okay, you will need four sheep blood auger plates. Two here and two here. You'll need two chocolate auger plates, two DNA auger plates, two modified Thayer-Martin plates, two MSA and two PEA, phenyl ethyl alcohol. Okay, so gather all your media first tomorrow and label them. So if these are plates, you label on the bottom of the plate. Just label what the media is, your initials, the date. And then you will also label the organism that you're going to streak to that plate or that media. But learn to write in shorthand. You don't have to write everything out, especially when it comes to the organism. Don't write strep pneumoniae. Write strep pneumo or H-I-N-F. Flu or something, just abbreviate, because we don't want you to spend all of your time writing on tubes and plates. So just learn to write quickly and to abbreviate. Okay, so for the BEA plate, you're going to get the new name. These organisms change names, so sometimes we have the old names listed here, and sometimes we've got the new names. I think your paper has the new name listed on here, the new genus. Used to be Strep ficalis. It is now Enterococcus ficalis. These organisms will be supplied. Most of these are in tubes. Some of them will be on plates like H. influenzae. But most of them are in tubes. And we'll have them spread out so that there will be several racks of these tubes for each lab. So you will get one of these tubes of Enterococcus. And with your sterile disposable loop, you will dip into that. Get a loop full, and then you will streak the bioesculin auger. Okay, streak for isolation. And then on your other bioesculin auger, you'll get strep pyogenes. And you will streak that. So that you've got two BEAs. One you streak with Enterococcus ficalis, the other with strep pyogenes. The reason we do this is because on Wednesday, then we're going to come in and we're going to look at these things. We're going to interpret the reactions. So then I want you to write down what you see. One of these is going to turn black, and one's not going to turn black. So just kind of write down, first of all, what you see, and then we're going to interpret. Is this a positive reaction? Is it a negative reaction? So you need to understand these media, what they're used for, and what's happening, which means you need to understand the ingredients that are in there that are causing the media to turn black or purple or whatever it does. And again, you can get that from the appendix. So on Wednesday, we're going to come in, then we're going to interpret all of this stuff. On Thursday, we're going to spend a little bit of time finishing up, interpreting, and then the last half of Thursday, we're going to go through this whole thing as a group, as lab sections, so that everybody knows what you should have seen and interpreted. We're not going to do that every week, but we will do that this week. So by Thursday, the end of Thursday's lab, your report form should be ready to turn in. You'll have everything filled out. And I don't care this first week if it's sloppy, if you use this and you make notes. I don't care if it's sloppy as long as I can read it. I don't want you to spend time recopying your notes so that it's very neat. at least for the first 2 weeks. When we get into the unknowns, I'll explain that the third week. Then it needs to be a little bit more legible. But these first couple weeks, I don't care. Okay, so for two of the SBA plates, you inoculate one with strep pneumoniae and one with strep faecalis, which is now enterococcus faecalis. Okay, for the other two SBA plates, one H. influenzae, one strep pyogenes. Chocolate auger, H. influenzae and strep pyogenes.
You have an additional row of SBA, S. aureus, and E. coli infectors.
Okay, this is an old form. So if you have three SBAs, then that means you need to get six SBAs and inoculate with whatever it says on there. I've added that one since this. So do that. Okay, so does everybody understand what this sheet is and what you're going to be doing tomorrow then? Okay, let's move on. Oh, for the SBAs, you should always remember to stab. After you've gone through and you've streaked your organisms, you've done your four quadrants, then go back with the loop end and stab two or three times in the primary quadrant. Just boom, 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 stab it all the way through. In the primary quadrant only. And I'll explain more what that means when we actually get talking about the staphs and strips. That's primarily for organisms. But I want you to get in the habit of doing that on every SBA, regardless of which organisms we're shrinking. Okay? Let's see. There's another note on here. Okay. For the media, the plate media, the rule of thumb is to put all plate media in 37 degree incubator with 5% CO2. We have two of these in room 737. So one of them we'll use for section one, which is 734. So just bring your plates over and put them in there. And the other one we'll use for section 2, which is 737. So that's the rule of thumb. For all plate media, we put it in the 37-degree incubator CO2. Sometimes there's exceptions. MSA, which is mannitol salt auger, is an exception. We do not put that one in CO2. So we put it in 37 air. And I'm not sure what a 37 air incubator is. Is there one of those? It might be in the stockroom, so I'll have to find out exactly where we're going to put those. That's the exception. And the reason is because the CO2 tends to change the color of the media. Okay, so make these notes so that when you come to MSA again in 3 weeks or whatever, you'll know what to do. Okay, usually in laboratories, whenever they get a new lot of media, they will do quality control, which means they'll just take some organisms like sheep blood auger, and they'll streak half of it with strep pyogenes and half of it with strep pneumoniae. And then they will check to make sure we get the expected results. Strep pyogenes should always show beta hemolysis. Strep pneumo should always show alpha hemolysis. And that's just the quality on the lot of sheep blood auger to make sure that we are getting the appropriate hemolytic reactions that we should get. For McConkie, we'll divide it into three and streak these three organisms. One should show pink, one is colorless, and one is no growth. Okay, we are not going to take time to do the quality control, so I did that. Okay, so we're not going to do quality control, but I want you to understand what it is, and I want you to understand these reactions. And we're going to go through sheep blood auger, these organisms this week. We're going to do McConkie next week. BEA we'll do this week, MSA this week, so that you'll know what these reactions are. That's the purpose of the quality control. Okay, these are biochemicals. So these will be in tubes. Biochemicals are usually in tubes. And we're going to be doing these this week. This is on the next page, the back page. Okay, and I've tried to be used to do a lot more, but it got pretty hectic that first week and we didn't have time since we only have 3 days. So I've cut this down considerably from what we have to do to make it a little bit more manageable. Okay, we're going to do a tube media that is oxidative fermentative media, OF media. OF media is what it's abbreviated, oxidative fermentative. And for each organism, you need two tubes. So you will need four tubes. And you will stab these just probably to the, well, probably half the tube. And one of them you leave open, which means you still cap them. When you put caps, they all have caps on them. The caps are loose. The rule of thumb for caps is that they're loose. So open does not mean without a cap. You still put the cap on, but it's loose. Overlay means that after you've stabbed this media, then you put about a quarter inch of mineral oil on top of it. A quarter to a half inch of mineral oil. And that creates more of an anaerobic environment. So that's the reason why we do this, so that we can differentiate between oxidation and fermentation. Okay, so you do that for Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and you do it for Acinetobacter lawfii. Now, sometimes they'll give us a different species, so it might not be lawfii, but we'll figure that out. We just have to take what the stockroom gives us as far as organisms go. Okay, the other one is lysine decarboxylase, LD. This one we always overlay. So, again, just stab it, streak it, and put a quarter to a half inch of mineral oil. So that's always on LD. That anaerobic environment. So we'll do one for K. pneumoniae, one for Proteus mirabilis. Citrate, we need a heavy inoculum, so get a pretty good inoculum from your organisms. Streaks, one with K. pneumoniae and one with E. coli. And urea. Urea sometimes comes in as a little tiny plate, and sometimes it comes as a slant. So I'm not sure what we'll get. But if it's a plate, we really don't have to streak for isolation. That's not so important for urea. You can still do it. If it's a slant, we'll just stab and streak it. Proteus vulgaris and E. coli. Okay, so that's what we're doing this week. So Tuesday, tomorrow morning, first thing you do is come in and get your media, gather all your media, label everything, and then we'll start with the organisms. Okay, this is next week. I'm going to go through this relatively quickly because it's pretty much the same thing, except we're using different media. So next week, and this will be on Monday, you will get these. Monday after lecture, when we go to lab, so you only have an hour instead of 2 hours. Tomorrow you'll have 2 hours to do this stuff. Next week, on Monday, you only have 1 hour. So, ectoenteric, H-E, McConkie. This blood auger you can cross off because we put it on this week. So we won't be doing that one next week. SS is Salmonella shigella. Eosinmethylene blue is EMB. TSI. We'll have to talk a little bit more about the reaction for TSI because there's all kinds of different types of reactions that we can get. So we'll explain that more in lab. But again, you get your media, label them, and then label which organism. You're going to inoculate to each tube, date, initials, and these are the organisms that we use. Okay, any questions on that? Okay, then biochemical reactions. So again, the plates go in 37 CO2. The biochemicals, oh, I don't think I said that. Other biochemicals. Biochemicals usually go in 37 air. Okay, biochemicals do not go in CO2. 37 air for biochemicals. And you will each have a metal sleeve that you can take a piece of tape and put your name on it, and that's what you put your plates in, and just stick that sleeve in the incubator. And remember, when you put your plates in the metal sleeve, turn them upside down so that the auger is on the top. And that way, if there's any water that condenses or liquid that condenses, it will condense in the lid and not on the surface of the plate. So you turn them upside down and put them in the sleeve. You will also all be given a rack. And you can take a piece of tape and put your name on the rack. And that's what you put the tubes in, the biochemicals. So we can stick that rack in the tube.
What about the tubes that we overlay?
The tubes that you overlay?
Oh, they're tubes.
They're tubes. Yeah. Those are tubes. So that's just from the rack. 37 air. Yep. Okay, this one, we used to do an MIO, but now we're just going to do motility. So we stab this, but with motilities, you stab it halfway down, and then you have to bring your needle up the same pathway that you stabbed. So there's no shaking, there's no jerking. You have to just stab it about halfway down and bring it up with a real steady hand, because otherwise it's difficult to see if the organism is really mobile or if it's just your shaky streak. So practice that one. So we're just going to do motility for these two. Cysteine, tryptocase auger, these are abbreviated CTA sugars. And we're only going to do lactose next week, but when we actually get into these, we do a battery. We actually do three of them. We do a glucose, maltose, and lactose. These, the exception is that these always have tight caps. So after you've inoculated them, and you use a heavy inoculum, use your loop, 3 to 4, 5 stabs, about the upper half inch of the tube. Heavy inoculum. So stab it 3, 4, 5 times, heavy inoculum, just the upper half inch. And then put your caps on tightly. No overlay, but tight caps. That's my pointer there. There it is.
So do we only get the specimen once? Or
yes, just get the specimen once, then just stab it 3, 4, 5 times. Because it does take heavy inoculum to get a good reaction. Sometimes it takes up to 72 hours before we can actually see a positive reaction. So the heavier the inoculum, the quicker we'll see a positive reaction. Okay, a couple other changes to this. We are not going to do the nitrate reduction, but we are going to do a methyl red and a Vogue proscal. Okay, this comes in one tube, and it's labeled MRVP. So we'll just inoculate one tube, one MRVP tube with Klebsiella, one MRVP tube with E. coli. And then we incubate it 48 hours. 37 air, 48 hours. Everything else is 24. Pretty much 24. Unless, well, like I said, with the CTA sugars, we get a negative reaction. We're not sure it's negative or it just hasn't changed. We'll stick it back in the incubator for another day. Sometimes we have to do that one. But this one requires usually 48 hours. And then at the end of 48 hours, we take another blank tube and we split. This is a broth. We split it. So we leave half of it. I think there's 5 mils of broth in there. So we'll leave about half of it in the labeled tube and we'll pour or pipette the other half into a second tube that we've labeled. So the first tube will be for methyl red. The second tube will be for Vogue proscal. And we add different reagents to each tube, so we'll explain that to you later. Okay, so any questions on these?
So for this one, we will do an open and overlay.
This one is not overlaid.
The other one is overlaid.
There's nothing here that is overlaid.
Okay.
So just the tight caps on the CPA. There's no mineral oil for next week. It's this week that we do the mineral oil. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's see. Okay, you're going to be doing gram stains next week. I'll just briefly go through this because we'll probably make a couple changes on this. Oh, I have a gram stain sheet I can hand out to you. Do you all have this in your packet? Gram stain sheet? This thing? Yay? You nay? Okay, because you're going to be doing lots of gram stains, and because, again, we don't have Bunsen burners, instead of heat fix, which is what we usually do, we're going to use, and this should be ethyl alcohol, not methanol. But again, we'll explain this more when we get into lab, how to do gram stains. But the best thing to do with gram stains is you're going to have glass slides. You'll each get a box of glass slides. Do at least 3 gram stains per slide. Otherwise, it's going to take you too long to do it. If you get good at doing gram stains, you can even do more. But do at least 3. So what you have to do if you're using colonies from the plate, if it's not already liquid media, you need to put 3 small drops of water. You just use your loop, take some tap water, put a small drop of water. Make it small, because we don't need a lot of organism in here at 6 gram stain. And if you have a large drop of water, this has to air dry. It's going to take a long time to air dry. So just use a small drop of water. Okay, then we're going to fix it in methanol or ethyl alcohol. We'll let Marilyn explain that. We usually will flood the slide with the ethyl alcohol for about 10 seconds and then drain it off and let it air dry, which takes about 30 seconds. And then we flood it with crystal violet, 15 seconds. Let that drain off. Iodine, 30 seconds. Decolorizer, which is acetone alcohol, 3 to 4 squirts, and saffron is the color counter stain. So, read about the gram stain in your book. We'll explain that more when we actually do it. We're not going to be doing gram stains this week. We'll do them next week. And we do have these organisms. These are the ones that I want you to gram stain. So we'll have those available next week. But I want you to do these in pairs. That's another thing I should explain real quickly, is that you will be working in pairs. When we start the third week, when I start with unknowns, each of you gets one unknown, and you do not work in pairs with your unknown. Okay? You all have to identify your own unknown. But along with the unknown, I will also give you 4 or 5 knowns. The knowns are organisms that have the name on it, like Staph epidermidis. And the reason I give you the knowns is because if you just had one unknown, you would miss so many of the reactions you wouldn't see because you would not all have Staph aureus, for example, and yet you all need to know what Staph aureus looks like and what its reactions are. So that's the purpose of the knowns, is for you to see what the organism looks like on gram stain, on colony characteristics on the plate, catalase reactions, coagulase, whatever. So you can do the knowns in pairs, which means when I give you knowns, and again, we'll talk about this third week, if there are 4 knowns, one of you will do 2 of those, and the other one will do the other 2. But you have to look at each other's so that you see all the reactions, and you have to record those. So again, I'll explain more of that in the third week. So you will have knowns and unknowns. The unknowns you do by yourself. That doesn't mean you can't talk about it or have somebody help you interpret, that's okay, but you have to identify those yourself. So for the gram stain, you can do these in pairs. So work with your partner. These are the organisms that we're going to gram stain. So one of you do half of them and the other one do half of them. But make sure you look at your partners because you're going to have to write these down and turn them in. Question?
Are the weekly homeworks that are due, like over the labs, are those in our pockets?
No, I will give those to you each week. Okay, and then we're going to do antibiotic sensitivity testing, which is called Kirby-Bauer. We're going to do these in pairs, so one of you will do Staph aureus and one of you will do E. coli. And then again, look at each other's and record the reactions that you see. And that's to save time, that's to save media. This is a very costly laboratory with all the media that we use. So, okay, so you all know what to do tomorrow when you first come in? Okay, let's now go up to room 830 in the Witzel building. And we'll talk a little bit about specimen collection.